Hey, you want that to go?
Time for takeouts on some of the stories you're following this week. And if you are following the president this weekend, you heard him say this.
It's been quite a year since I've spoken here last. Lots of ups, lots of downs, except for my approval ratings, which have just gone down.
That was President Barack Obama at the White House Correspondents' Dinner on Saturday. We turn now to Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick. And Todd, I want to actually play for you an example of the kind of humor we heard from Barack Obama.
Of course, I may not have had the star power that I once had, but in my defense, neither do all of you.
There's a lot being said about his sense of humor, Todd. How did the dinner go?
Yeah, the dinner went fine. The president backed off a little bit, his usual, he likes to make jokes about how all the press are in his pocket, you know, because that's sort of the conventional wisdom around the country, that that all the press just worship Barack Obama. Not completely undeserved, I have to say, across the board. It didn't go there this year, but he got some laughs. I think the jokes were a little lower key than they have been in the past, but he took some shots at some old favorites for sure, Michael Steele and some other people. So he brought out some of the old favorites, I think, during his comedy turn this year.
Well, let's hear his little jibe at Michael Steele.
Michael, who knows what truly plagues America today? Taxation without representing.
And he also actually, surprisingly, took a dig at some other things. I mean, he made fun of himself, is right. I mean, he wasn't just picking on other people.
Oh, no. And that's what it's all about, you know, making fun of his own approval ratings. You know, I think last year there were some self-effacing jokes about beer summits and stuff like that. Of course, Celeste, let's stipulate, the president does not write these jokes. You know, he's a wonderful orator, but they have a whole team of professional, probably nameless Hollywood writers who put these things together. Michael Steele is an old favorite target of the president's for, you know, trying to be a hipper, cooler version of a GOP chairman. And the president even said, you know, I know I did this last year, but sort of Michael Steele is the gift that keeps on giving. I can't resist.
Okay, so. But this is usually just tells us how his relationship is going with the press. What do you think, up or down since last year?
Well, Celeste, lately, actually, the relationship with the press has not been good in the last couple of weeks. There have been some serious tensions between the White House press corps and the White House press operation. You remember the nuclear summit? That did not go well in terms of relations. Press felt they were kept at bay. Mm-hmm. In the confines of the White House, there have been a lot of problems lately. The president moving around Washington once or twice without the press pool, photographers not giving as tight of access as they think they deserve, cameras not in meetings
so
with foreign leaders.
Okay, so testy relationship.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So this could help, yeah.
Okay, Takeaway Lighten Washington things. Correspondent Todd Zwillick.
Our second takeout comes from Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports contributor. And for those of you who still think it's a little too soon to be tuning into the NBA playoffs, it is just the second round here, the semifinals, right, in the West and the East. It seems to me, Ibrahim, and good morning to you.
Good morning.
That there are two big stories. There's a sort of predictable old news of the LA Lakers versus the Utah Jazz, and then there's the LeBron James story in the series between the Boston Celtics and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Those are the two big stories, right?
Without a doubt, especially because in the first game with Cleveland and the Celtics, Cleveland won 101-93, which sets up tonight's game where Celtics are going to try and steal a game at Cleveland.
And what do you think?
Well, I mean, they played a nail biter. It was a really close game the entire game through. The Celtics made some mistakes down late in their big three, Garnett, Ray Allen and Paul Pierce didn't really come up to play, but Rajon Rondo, the point guard, played excellent.
You really get the impression that if a game is close, LeBron can get it done. Let's talk about the Lakers. They have that same sort of issue there too, right?
Well, the Lakers have the injured sort of maligned and bruised emotionally Kobe Bryant, but he's playing again like he's a superstar, and that's what they need for them to win.
Bring in the A game. So what's to be made of the Phoenix Suns versus the Spurs or the Orlando Magic versus Atlanta?
Well, interesting thing in the Western Conference, in the last 11 years, 10 of the last 11 Western Conference champions have been either the Lakers or the Spurs. So if you're betting on any who is going to come out of the West or compete in the West, it's going to be Lakers versus Spurs in the next round. However, Steve Nash has never won. This is the best team that's been assembled around him. So that series should actually be somewhat exciting, even though normally Spurs-Suns doesn't sound very exciting. And in the East, it's the Battle of the South. You got Atlanta versus Orlando. And that I like that series a lot. They match up really well. It'll probably come down to seven games.
Seven games. And then, again, LeBron will just make toast with whoever comes out of there. But again, I've been predicting LeBron all the way along. We will have to see. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, thanks so much.
Good morning.
And our last takeout comes from the listeners. We wanted to check in and find out what stories you have been talking about. Every Friday, we ask you who's had a good week and a bad week. That's in collaboration with our friends at The Week magazine.
Tyrone from Baltimore. Bad week, all of Congress, because they look like fools bickering for every season. Oh, my God. I know what partisan stuff is, but this is beyond anything I've seen in my living.
Philomena from Westchester. It should be a bad week for Sarah Palin. We should be playing her mantra, Drill Baby Drill, opposite the tragedy in the Louisiana area.
What's your take on that? You have until Friday to tell us who you think deserves to have a nod for the best or worst week. You can reach us at 8778-MY-TAKE or post to thetakeaway.org.
We should just have the listeners do that segment. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. We've had lots of Detroit love. Of course, last week, Celeste was in Detroit for a few days, finding all sorts of reasons to love the big Motor City. But not everyone thinks it's great. John in the Motor City posts, Detroit is in a perpetual state of denial. One person's frontier spirit is another's lawlessness. I came for the frontier spirit. I'm leaving, though, because of the relentless lawlessness of the society in general.
And to be fair, Detroit is not the only place around the country that people love. OB in Baltimore posts to our site, my hometown is Pittsburgh, a town that's been the butt of jokes for years. I can now understand the parts of Pittsburgh that I couldn't understand as a child, like its unique architecture and quirky, warm hospitality.
No,
and
it's the same kind of story as Detroit. I mean, Pittsburgh was once this industrial center in the mid-1800s.
Lots. Cleveland. I mean, come on. Yeah. There's so many
Cleveland,
cities
the same.
Like that.
Cleveland
lots
and Pittsburgh
of
are very similar.
Urban centers that are that way. And give us some examples of what city you think we should visit. I should go out and visit next. Give us a call at 8778-MY-TAKE. What city deserves a closer look, a takeaway look? Do me a favor. Make it tropical. Something warm, please.
Oh, man. Honolulu,
come
maybe?
Come on. Yeah. 8778-MY-TAKE.
Jeez. This is how it starts.